Let's open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 49. You might hear my fan club in the back. God's blessed us, and we're very grateful for His plans and His timing. When I was in high school, I was really into some just theatrical things, being in plays and musicals and things like that. And twice a year, we would have these auditions come up, and it's kind of a stressful time, you know, because you go up and you put yourself all into auditioning, and then a couple days later, they put up a list. You go to the list, and you look, and you hope your name's on it. But there are always a number of people that really wanted to get to be part of that play or whatever it is, and they didn't make it. And perhaps you've not experienced that, but perhaps you've applied for a job on some occasion and really thought that job would really fit you, and that you had the qualifications for it. You go in for your interview, and you thought you nailed it, and then you don't get the job. Somebody else got it. There are, in those instances, there are people who aren't going to get what they want, who aren't going to get what they were hoping for and longing for. You know, those positions are not for anybody, therefore for a select few. My fan club is very exuberant. But the message of salvation is not that way. The message of the salvation is for all people. It is not offered just to people of a certain race or nationality. It's not offered just to people with a certain background or social economic status. The message of God's salvation is for all people. We see that in Isaiah 49. I'm going to begin reading in the first verse. "Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar off. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, He named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of His hand, He hid me. He made me like a polished arrow. In His quiver, He hid me away. He said to me, 'You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified.' But I said, 'I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense is with God.' And now the Lord says, 'He who formed me from the womb to be His servant, to bring Jacob back to Him, and that Israel might be gathered to Him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength.' He says, 'Is it too little a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel? I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and His Holy One, to the one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves, because the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." See, in those verses, that the servant of the Lord will bring salvation to the nations. The first several verses, we're called to listen, called to give attention to this servant. We see in verse 4 that the servant labors, and it seems to be in vain. It looks like his work is not accomplishing the goal that it was set for. It says, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. But yet it goes on at the end of the verse and says, yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense is with my God. When Jesus Christ was on the cross, people were looking at him and seeing what was going on. Perhaps there was somebody who looked and saw that and thought, you know, what a waste. And if, from all human perspectives, it appeared that way. And yet Jesus Christ knew God's plan. God's plan, what he was accomplishing through that, and the broader plan for the nations. And so he says, he looks beyond what seemed to be a very desperate situation, a very horrible situation, and there were very horrible aspects to that. And he says, God is accomplishing something. He goes on in verse 6, and he says, not only is God's plan for Jesus, his servant, not only was his plan for the people of Israel, he says, is it too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob? God says, there is a great value in the plan that he has for his nation of Israel, those who he will preserve from them, the remnant of Jacob. But Jesus Christ's mission did not end with Israel. It was not limited to Israel. It is for all the nations. He says, I will, in the last half of that verse 6, it says, I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. God is accomplishing his purposes in the world. Just as could have looked upon that situation when Jesus was at the cross and said, you know, that there was an emptiness there, that there was a wasted life from human perspective. We, in our dealings with people, sometimes feel that we're not accomplishing what we're longing to see happen. But God has a plan. He has a plan for the nations, and he has a plan for people who you work with. So we need to recognize that God's plan of salvation is communicated through our words. And we don't always know what that plan is, but that we can herald God's message and see him accomplish his glorious purposes. Perhaps you've shared God's truth with someone and not seen some immediate results. And keep praying. Look to the Lord and trust that he can accomplish his plan for them. So the servant will bring salvation. He will bring salvation to all nations. Also, in the next several verses, you see that those limits, those ways in which there were challenges, that there were struggles, you know, that looked like that the servant was not accomplishing what God had for him, God vindicates his servant. In verse 7, he says, "Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, the Holy One, to the one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers, someone who's looked upon and abhorred. Kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves." The servant will be worshipped by kings because of the Lord's faithfulness. Looking at verse 8 and 9 then, "Thus says the Lord, in a time of favor I have answered you, in the time of salvation I have helped you. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people to establish the land and to approach and to apportion the desolate heritages, saying to the prisoners, come out, to those who are in darkness appear, they that fled along the ways, on the bare heights and along the pastures." See there that the servant is going to proclaim deliverance to the oppressed, people who are in oppression, it says in the prisons, in dark places. You might think about being in the darkest of dungeons. And God proclaims deliverance to them. God vindicates his servant through accomplishing salvation of people in these desperate situations, in this darkness. God will not forsake his redeemed people. So God will vindicate his servant. Then also the Lord will bring the discouraged Israel home. We see in verse 14 that Zion, it says verse 14, But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me, my Lord has forgotten me." I don't know if you've ever felt that way yourself, where the challenges that you're facing in your life are weighing down so heavily, and things, you're trying to serve the Lord and you're trying to push ahead for him, and the situation around you just does not look like God is doing anything. And perhaps you've even asked the Lord, have you forgotten what I'm going? Do you understand what I'm facing, God? And God offers these assurances in verse 15. "Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her wombs? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Your builders make haste, your destroyers, and those who laid you waste go out from you. Lift up your eyes around and see. They are all gathered, they come to you. As I live, declares the Lord, you shall put them all on as an ornament. You shall bind them on as a bride does." God says to his people who believe that perhaps God has just totally forgotten about them, consider a nursing mother. She cares for her suckling child. She's not going to abandon that child. If the child needs to be fed, she will feed it. She's not going to forget. But even if it were possible for a woman like that to forget, I am not going to forget. He says, I have engraved you in my hands. And you think about God you know, think about how you sometimes maybe, when you really want to remember something, you might write a little note to yourself if you don't have any paper on your hand, right? But then you wash your hands and it's gone, you know. And if it was a ways down the way, if you didn't get it on paper, maybe you forget. But God didn't say he's going to jot a note down on his hands. He says he's engraved it in his hands. Now, that's not going to go away. He is going to remember his people. When we feel like God has forsaken us, we can take comfort in knowing that he has not forsaken you. He's used these illustrations to remind us, to bring us, to give us vivid examples of how he is intimately involved in our lives and how we are not just a second thought. God cares about you. He cares about what is going on in your life. Now, Israel, it looked like, you know, the forces were massing against them and God was forgetting them. But God says, you know, this is what's going on. He acknowledges that they're coming upon them like they were. And he says, I'm going to accomplish, he says in verse 18, says, as I live, declares the Lord, you shall put them on as an ornament, you shall bind them on as a bride does. Says, showing that there's going to be a massive victory. Now, God doesn't promise to give us victory over different oppressors that we face in our life necessarily. You know, sometimes we might be oppressed and can't humanly overcome the victory. In Israel's case, he was telling them, this is what it looks like and this is what's going to happen. I'm going to give you the victory in that. But we can be certain that even if we don't necessarily face a victory over a human adversary, that God is going to vindicate not only his servant, but he's going to protect us, that he hasn't abandoned us. Whatever it is he allows us to go through, he is still with us. And he will accomplish the end that he desires in our life, and it'll be good. Even if it's not necessarily what you were hoping for, what he has for you is good. You know, have you ever, people fail you. You know, somebody maybe has made you a promise at one time or another and then not come through. You know, perhaps they forgot. Perhaps they got so busy that they just weren't able to do what they said they were going to do. Perhaps they got sick and were physically kept from doing what they had promised. Or perhaps they didn't tell you the truth. Perhaps they never intended to do what they said. There's all kinds of reasons why people don't keep their promises, why people don't come through. But God won't do any of those things. God will always keep his promises. Have your experiences with people failing you led you to believe that God has failed you too, that God might fail you too? God will not forget you. God will not forsake you. Even if it were possible for a nursing mother to forget her child, God will not forget you. In the first verse of the chapter, the servant called everyone to pay attention to his message. But many people today, many people you know, have chosen to ignore God's message. If you've accepted God's message of salvation personally, then you can be sure that God will come through for you in this life and in the next. And your confidence can lead others to accept this message, can accept to lead others to turn to the message of salvation, because it is for all people. You may know somebody and you think, you know, I just don't see how that person will ever come to know the Lord. And perhaps that perception has led you to kind of shy away from sharing the truth with that person. I would encourage you not to do that, but to recognize that God's message of salvation is for all people, that you can share that with the people who look like it's that there's no hope. Then also, we can be confident that because the message of salvation is for all people, missions can be successful. God has a purpose for all peoples, that they would come to know His servant. So we can confidently advance, knowing that God has a purpose and He is going to accomplish it. And let's pray. Our Father, we thank You that You sent Your Son. Father, we rejoice to know that He came for us, that Your Son died for all people. Father, I pray that we would look in faith, believing, trusting, as Jesus Christ trusted in the darkest of hours, knowing that He was accomplishing Your will, that He was doing right. I pray that we would trust in that and trust in the success of that, both in our own lives and in the lives of the people around us. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.